Hi, y'all. Nicole here. This podcast is intended to inspire you on your personal spiritual journey to inner peace. I am not a psychologist or a medical doctor and do not offer any professional health or medical advice. This applies to the podcast guests and or co-hosts. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek help from a qualified health professional. You are listening to A Psychic Story Kids Edition, a podcast that helps kids and teens shift their vibration, develop their intuition, and become more empowered. If you want to feel a deeper connection to the divine, better understand your purpose, and use your intuition to drive your life, then being here listening now is no coincidence. Welcome to A Psychic Story Kids Edition. Research shows that children who have a positive, active relationship with spirituality are less likely to be sad or anxious as teenagers. They are also more likely to become more resilient adults. One of the most important things we can give our children is to help them believe in and trust themselves. This includes what they are experiencing and going through intuitively. To help us better understand this and what adults can do to help intuitive kids, we have Michelle Henderson on. For more than 30 years, Michelle has worked in education as a teacher, educational didactician, and behavior analyst. While teaching children with autism, she wrote a book titled A Three-Element Social Skill Program, Instruction, Drama, and Technology. In 2006, she opened IASIS Learning Center, a nonprofit organization teaching children social skills through drama techniques. After retiring from education, Michelle obtained her ordained ministry from the Universal Life Church Ministries in 2019. In 2021, Michelle became a certified spiritual advisor, psychic medium through Lisa Williams International School of Spiritual Development. Welcome, Michelle. Thank you for joining us for this important topic.
Oh, no worries. I am so excited. I love this topic.
You have an impressive background. So anything else you'd like to add to that before we dive in?
I just want to let everybody know that when you're going through your career and you're going, I don't know if I can do this much longer, or you switch careers, there's always a reason, because I feel like God, the spiritual world, is getting you ready for something in your journey. And just hang in there, because it will be the best thing that you've ever done.
That's awesome advice. And I'm going to take that to heart too, because I've been going through that for the last 3 years. So now I just want to go into, right off the top of it, why is the topic about psychic kids and teens important to you?
Oh my goodness. And I think I can vouch for everybody out there that is finally coming out of the closet as a psychic medium. I was a child myself once, and I went through a lot of experiences, but I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't know what to do. And so I turned my psychic abilities down. And then as an adult, I've always been an advocate for children. And as a teacher, as a diagnostician, trying to work with parents, getting a good program for them in education. And then as a behavior analyst, working with kids with autism. So I feel like I have always been an advocate for kids and always use that psychic ability to help them.
Any stories you can share about intuitive kids, whether one growing up as one or through your work in education, and then even as you've pivoted into the spiritual community?
Okay, absolutely. I love to tell stories. And I think the best stories are the ones that we experience. And then as I got older and I'm going, oh, wow, there are more people that are experiencing the exact same thing. So whenever I was younger and I could feel the energy in the room, I didn't necessarily see the apparitions, but I could feel spirit. And I knew what people were thinking a lot of times, a lot of my friends, and I also knew what they were feeling. So I would bring a lot of that home, a lot of the emotions. I would cry. I would lock myself up in the room. And I did not understand what was going on. And I did. I felt alone and I felt differently from my friends. I'm thinking, I don't know if there's anyone else out there. So I just became an introvert, went inside myself and didn't really show people who I truly was. And then in my 20s, when I was having my spiritual awakening, and they were like trying to wake me up, and I could hear the voices, I'm going, oh my gosh, I am going crazy. there is something definitely wrong. So that's when I went out and found a psychic medium that could actually help me through it. And she goes, okay, remember, you're not crazy. You are going through something very spiritual. And then she educated me. So I think that's the number one word is education and knowledge, that type of thing. But yeah, so as I worked with a lot of the children and as I learned what was actually going on with me, I could actually think back and go, I can see what was happening to them as well. So I had a lot of children that were diagnosed with autism, and they tend to look off in the distance, especially children under the spectrum that are nonverbal and have a lot of sensory going on, and they'll look off in the distance and they'll start laughing. And I'm going, what is that kid laughing at? I'd always say, I know you see somebody who is entertaining you. And then a lot of them love the geometric patterns. And I think a lot of times they start looking at something, and I think they can actually see the earth patterns, the geometric patterns.
Like sacred geometry?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then a lot of times I could calm them down with my energy. So I would work on that energy work, just visualizing my energy going towards them, and it would help them with their meltdowns. They would start calming down. And many times I would say in my mind, it's all right. I'd say the mother things that we always say to calm people down. It's going to be okay. Yeah, so as I worked with calm down, and then I could actually hear what they were saying as well, even if they were nonverbal.
Okay. So a few questions about that before we get more into the autism and the spectrum and what that looks like, because I do feel that at least when I have messages downloaded, Spirit told me that autism in some cases is the connection to the divine and they do experience more of the supernatural and we just don't necessarily understand it. But before we get into that, you mentioned a little bit about the shutdown like you went through. So I call it the shutdown because luckily when I was going through it, I never really truly turned it off. I just didn't really talk about it in my teens and in my college years, but I still was very much connected. But a lot of children, when they get to a certain age, they just tend to shut it down. Can you explain a little bit about what that looks like and maybe even what the age ranges would be?
Oh, absolutely. And I think everybody can remember their teenage years when the hormones are raging. And so especially preteen to teen years, I think that if you do have that psychic ability and you can know it and you feel it, and you want to fit in so badly with everybody else, but yet you feel so different. I remember I mentioned it one time and I saw my friend's face like in horror and I thought, I'm never going to mention it again. Oh, heck no. So I think because we want to fit in so desperately, a lot of times we will shut it down. Okay. And we'll say, okay, right now I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to embrace that part of myself. I'm just going to go ahead and shut it down and not say anything to anybody. And sometimes it's about protection as well, because as an empath and you're going through all those emotions and you're going through that chemical imbalance in your body, sometimes you're doing it to protect yourself. And, you know, it's not going to go away, as we know, because you picked it up too as you got older. But I think it's just sometimes just knowing and being true to yourself and saying, maybe I'll accept it later. But as long as you know that is a part of you and that it can come back, I think that is so important. It's the kids that shut it off and they don't know where else to turn to. And then that's when they get into the drugs and the drug scene and try to shut it down that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so with autism, can you share a little bit about, it's such a beautiful story that you were able to communicate with children, even if they're nonverbal, and hear their messages about maybe if a parent has been told or believes and thinks that their kid is on that spectrum or is fully autistic, and then also maybe, again, some additional examples of the things that they might be experiencing with both.
Okay, yes. And so to be diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, of course, it really interferes with language and it interferes with that social language. And it also, you have a lot of sensory needs and deficits going on. And then you also have something like you have to do something over and over again, okay? Almost like an obsessed behavior. So a lot of these kids that do, if they're under the autism spectrum disorder and they're also high functioning, they may not understand their feelings. They may not understand how to express what is going on. And I think that's the number one thing is that we need to teach them how to express themselves so that they can tell us what's going on. And a lot of times for these parents, it's just to really listen and find that communication. If they do much better drawing pictures, have them draw pictures. But the way that they need to express themselves is the number one thing. That way they feel like they're being heard.
And I think that would be important. I've always said this is we just need to talk about our feelings more, experience our own feelings as adults, teach children how to tap into their emotions and that it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, what they're going through is real and just process it all. And especially if children are sensitive, intuitive, psychic, whatever you want to call it. And also if they're an empath, because they're going to feel things that much more intensely and deeply.
Absolutely. And as a behaviorist, I would always teach the kids what emotions felt like. And we would actually watch segments of movies or TV shows. And I would show them. And of course, this is more physical. It's not really the soul feeling. But if they understand what it looks like for somebody physically to be happy or sad, then they're going to understand the feeling inside as well. So just little things like that. And also our kiddos can be diagnosed with ADHD. And those are very vulnerable just as well. And they have a lot of sensory issues. They're hyperactive. They can't sit down. Their mind's going a mile a minute. And it's hard for them to settle down at night. So again, they just need to be heard and understood and also given exercises or strategies that they can use themselves because we won't always be with them.
Yeah. I think if ADHD was a really prevalent thing when I was growing up, because it really wasn't, right? There was not a lot of understanding or research and studies being done about it. But thankfully, I wasn't diagnosed with it because I don't know where I would be if I had been put on medication and doing all of those things. I'm not saying knocking it for people that obviously need it, but looking back, I think my ADHD was actually spiritual ADHD. And that's also one of the things that I did to, I don't want to say again, fully shut down, but I turned off my abilities because I couldn't focus if they were turned on. And it wasn't until I got older and became an adult where even during these interviews, I have so much information coming in, like your spirit guides and angels, mine, my higher self sees, right? So all of this is like swirling and I'm like, okay, focus. But it took a really long time for me to get there to focus. So I can't imagine, again, as a child, when they're going through that, and then they also may have the actual physical components of ADHD or other things going on that there's just a lot to navigate there.
Oh, absolutely.
See, do you have any questions?
Yeah, actually, I was diagnosed ADHD as a teenager. And so I get that. But one of the things that, and this is probably a very well-known quote, is that ADHD, things like ADHD or autism, it's not a disability, it's a different ability, right? So the way that we intake information, it's just a little bit different. And so where I catch on to things really fast because I notice a lot of different things all at once. And obviously that could also be called a short attention span. but for me, that is very helpful in the work that I do. But I did want to ask you, I know for a lot of kids that I personally have worked with who are on the spectrum, I feel like they have less of a filter. And maybe that's just all kids, to be honest, less of a filter. Is it easier in your experience to communicate with these kids because of that? Or are there less of a filter? Are you able to get through to them maybe more so than you are adults? And can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And I love that you say that too, that we look at disabilities or what in the DSM-5 as disabilities, and what you were saying is absolutely right. And I think that's an earthly thing, and I don't want to call it a problem either, because in the school system, a lot of times if a child needs help, that's how they get diagnosed or whatever. But I agree totally that it's the child that we need to look at and not just what we say as humans as a disability, because it's not. But to answer your question, yeah, the kiddos, especially, now I'll say some girls, but okay, both, because I'm thinking of the children that I knew that were in middle school, especially. They do have no filter, and those are the ones that are very vulnerable to bullying. Once they say something, and then the other children can grasp that and use it against them, if it's just a little bit different, which is so sad. So a lot of times what we do is teach the children, you got to look at your audience, which means you got to look at your friends. You got to look to see who's around you, to see if you can actually say something. And we actually can role play that. And I could pretend to be one of their friends and they would go ahead and just say whatever they want to say to express. And then I'd come back just so that they could practice on what do I do in that situation if I am being bullied, or what do I need to do to really watch what I say. So we always teach them, take a deep breath before you talk, because a lot of times you do want to express yourself because you are so special. But just like anybody else, like you're in church, you're not going to discuss things, drugs or alcohol or whatever, because you're going to feel that judgment coming across sometimes. It depends on your friends. So it just really depends on where you are when you want to share. But you've got to feel very safe before you do share the special moments that you want to.
Great question and great insight. So now I'd love to pivot to the basics for adults. And why we've brought you on is you have a wealth of knowledge and your experience in helping children, but also I'd imagine that translates to adults, like what they can do to help their kids, whether they're a teacher or even a doctor or in any sort of kind of relationship with adults and children, how they can either support them through their intuitiveness and their psychic abilities. So I'd like to hand it over to you and see what you have to share with us.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, the number one thing is listening to the child to see what they need and everything. And especially because parents will see this and they'll become afraid when their child comes to them saying, you know what, I'm seeing people and they're not really here. And then that would make a parent a little bit uncomfortable. So what you're going to do most of the time is you're going to take your child to the doctor. And a lot of times the doctors, again, will look at that medical, and a lot of times they don't fit anywhere or they fit into a category. But it still does not solve the problem spiritually. So as a parent, you still need to keep digging. You need to find parent groups that can actually help you. Maybe go to a metaphysical store and say, my child is experiencing this. What can I do? You can also go to your church if you feel comfortable there, because which I did, and I was so surprised that they were so welcoming and they gave me some great advice. And then that way you can help your child, but look at it from a spiritual point of view, not religion, but from a spiritual point of view, because that is so important. A child, if they think they're going through something and it's fearful, they're not going to look at the spiritual aspect of it. And it is so spiritual. And so for the parent to really embrace it and help their child, because you know that a lot of these parents are intuitive themselves. They're either now seeing it or they put it on the back burner. So they can actually learn a lot of things with their child. And so learning how to maybe breathing exercises, the child needs to feel like they're in control, just like the parent. I always say praying a lot of times together, meditating. And while you're meditating, and I always say, now don't get it like a 4-year-old child and sit there for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I can't even sit still for that long.
I know, and especially because that will help you, because see, this kind of answers your question as well, because it helps slow down the child's brain through meditation. They learn how to really breathe through what they're thinking and slow that brain down. But you look at the child's age. So if the child is 4, they should only meditate for 4 minutes. And again, it depends on the child. Start with 2 minutes if you need to. But the parent needs to go through all of these exercises with the child, because again, that's bonding and that's a way of accepting it. Do and journal. Oh my gosh, this is so important. So writing down things that happen on a daily basis. Now, if your child can't do that, you go ahead and do it. A 4-year-old can draw a picture. And then you can write down what they say, what's happened in their daily life, okay? And I love this exercise to work with energy, a lot of times with energy balls. So, you know, that you teach them how to feel the energy between their hands and almost make a ball out of the energy and really set a great intention. Say, I'm going to send this to my friend with love. And also make the ball color. If they love the color blue, say, okay, let's do the color blue. And so that they can imagine it and visualize in their mind what they are doing. Because when they're kiddos, yeah, visualization is so important, and creativity.
That energy ball exercise I did as a kid, and I was never taught it. And I actually, sometimes when people have sessions with me, adults, because I don't work with children, but with adults, I will say, especially if they've had Reiki and they've learned the whole Reiki practice and they're like, I don't know if it's turned on. I tell them, hold your hands in prayer for them, kind of do some friction like this, move it apart, and then start to create like a snowball. And then you can actually feel it. And I just remember as a child, I would have friends friends over and I was like, let's play with my energy balls. And they're like, what are your energy balls? And I would sit there and I would make these balls and I would toss it to them and they would toss it back. And they're like, this is really cool. So I didn't have a lot of kids necessarily come back because then they would go and tell their parents. So I had a little bit of that going on too. But yeah, so I love that you brought that up because I totally forgot about that as a kid exercise. I'm sure it would be amazing.
And you know what, Nicole, you said I wasn't taught, but I bet your spirit team, someone on your spirit team showed you how to do it. So you were taught just in a different realm.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I wasn't taught by like adults. It's like there were some things that my parents would teach me or exercises that they had heard about that they would help me along in mine, but they did not teach me that piece when I was growing up that I can remember. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It's probably Michael or something because he was always playing games with me and doing all of that. But yeah, C, do you have any questions? Because you grew up as a psychic child as well and had a lot of experiences. So would like to open it up for you to ask questions as well.
I did. I love the exercises that you shared, Michelle. One of the things that I share with parents too of psychic kids who come to me is to put on a snowsuit, an imaginary snowsuit or an imaginary astronaut suit so that whatever energy comes just bounces off. And then when they get home, they can take it off and then they're themselves.
I love it.
Oh, thank you. I picked it up somewhere. I wish I could give credit to whoever taught me, but I can't remember at the moment. But yeah, I love the journal and the writing things down. Now, when you say journal specifically, are you just talking about parents writing down what happens with their kids, the experiences they have, or journaling maybe? What specifically were you referring to with that? Because I know when I journal, I like to journal the dreams I have or the deja vu experiences I have or the ghosts I encounter, that kind of thing. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, everything that you said. It really depends on the child and what they are experiencing. At first, they may just tell you a little bit. And as they see what the journal writing is all about, they may open up even more. Yeah, so if they're having dreams, if they're having experiences talking to grandfather or whatever, or having remembering memories in the past life, or if they're experiencing terrible things at school because of whatever experience. Yes. So journal writing is just a great place for them to actually see what is going on and actually learning about it. Because as you're talking about it, you go, you know what? I didn't even think about that perspective or something I could do about it. Or maybe wearing a suit before, an astronaut suit before I leave the house. So they start finding out little strategies like that as they're writing things down. It's just a way to talk. Because as a lot of kids will shut down, especially in middle school again. How was your day today, honey? Oh, we didn't do anything.
What'd you learn? Nothing.
Yes. So I always go, oh, you mean you sat in the corner all day and did nothing? And they go, yeah. But if you start getting them to do crafts or something with their hands, they loosen up. And that's how when they start talking or start writing things down.
And a lot of parents I know, they have, like you said, these kids come home from school. They don't want to talk. They're exhausted from the day. But I love the idea of bringing art into it. And then what kind of questions can you ask? Because I know, full disclosure, by the way, I'm not a parent, but I'm a great aunt to lots of kids, right? So what questions do you recommend or can you suggest parents can ask kids without being too pushy and without coming across too strong to where kids do shut down? What can you recommend for that?
Oh my gosh, that is a wonderful question. And I think about it as an educator during the days whenever I taught kids how to journal. And it really depends on the age. So the younger they are, you really have to be concrete and you may need to even show a symbol, like tell me like a story. And sometimes you may want to say, okay, let's put this, okay, as a different character, like Tom, because sometimes that even helps. What did Tom experience today? What did somebody say to him that makes him sad or makes him cry? And you may even say, how did Tom feel at that time? So that way you're just getting more and more stuff. Now, if it made them afraid, why did this make you afraid? Or if they talked about somebody who has passed away and they're talking to this person, maybe say, what did they look like? Tell me what color the hair was, what color eyes did they have? And if they don't know, just say, okay, let's go in their personality. Were they nice? Did they make you feel comfortable? Were they like a mother? Were they like a father? And kids are very insightful and they can tell you. Now, middle school, you can just say, can you just write about your day? Tell me what happened and tell me how you felt about it and what you need help for. What do you need me to do? And they need to go in a different room to be able to do this. Sometimes they don't want you hovering over and they don't sit at the table with mom or dad when they get to that point. And sometimes they just need that time.
Very good. That's true. Thank you.
Yes, great question. See, I was going to ask actually about the art, but you guys went into it. And I just remember when I was younger, my mom would ask me to draw. And so a lot of my drawings were of people or things that weren't there. She thought it was my creative imagination. And just even knowing and asking the question, because I'm a visual person, I get it in my mind's eye. Not a lot of people are, right? Sometimes you just feel the energy or you may feel the emotions. You don't see things in your mind's eye. So when I think that's a beautiful way that you made the questions, because it may be like if they can't see it physically or in their mind's eye, then the feeling or the energy or the other aspects. So it's just a little bit of starting to learn and understand your child more and how they process information and the world around them, and asking them to draw that too, or even again, whatever they're feeling, whatever they're seeing in that moment and in that time frame. And I think art's a wonderful way, or crafts, to have them connect back to their creativity and their imagination, but become empowered and feel confident in what it is that they're experiencing.
Now, I know that C is into music and does the piano playing. So it depends on also when you look at art, look at what the child expressing, because music can be a beautiful thing as well. And you can turn on that music while they do art and feel into it. So it really depends on what type of art that the child is into as well.
My mom always used to joke she could tell when I was in a bad mood because I would start playing the sad music that I had in my repertoire on the piano. I'd sit down and start playing. And then she knew, okay, this is a bad day. Let's have a conversation. So I think that's very applicable.
So let me ask you a question. So whenever you use your music now as a psychic medium, do you tend to look at the frequencies to bring up your energy?
That's actually an interesting question because music was my career. I was a teacher and music director. But it's actually really interesting because actually lately the angels have been telling me to hum certain tones, certain notes. And so I have a little pitch pipe app on my phone. And so I'll go, oh, what tone is this? And I'll find it. And so I can do that. And so it is, it's really interesting. But I do find that certain tones, certain pitches do bring in different kinds of energy. It's really fascinating.
See, and I think that would be a great exercise for a parent, because whenever I was going through meditation, we would do the tones. And you could feel the energy in the room just moving. And so I think with every music or every tone, just tone, not really music per se, and the child can center on that. And that really quiets the mind as well. But that can bring up their energy.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I didn't think about the tones. We'll have to look into that and see. I'm sure there's probably something that already exists.
Oh, absolutely. And if you go to YouTube and find different frequencies, they have it. Because each chakra has a different frequency. And so if you're working on your chakras, and it will wear you out too. If you're meditating and you're working on the tone and trying to match up with the tone, it will really wear you down a little bit. But it will strengthen you at the same time.
If you have any that you really like that you've been using, if you could send that to us, that'd be great. Otherwise, I'll just, yeah, we'll include it in the show notes. All right. So what other tips, resources, information would you like to offer adults?
Yeah, and really, and I think what's really important too is when you look at the resources, really, because it's almost like getting a second opinion. So when you get an opinion from a medical physician that is not into spirituality, because that's their job is to look at the physical body, is to really get a second opinion and go to those holistic fairs, go to the metaphysical store and really find the resources. Now, on Facebook, there are a lot of groups that parents meet together because you need to not feel alone as a parent and know that you're going in the right direction. Because a lot of the parents ask me, am I doing everything correct I need to do with my child? And a lot of times it is yes, but sometimes you get stuck. Even if you're in the business, you get stuck because it is your child. But I won't tell you a name that I think that will be very helpful. Her name is Ellen Edmondson, and it's Edmondson. And her son was on Psychic Kids on A&E, okay, on the first episode. And she's a psychic medium herself. But what she did is she continued to, she developed a website with resources for educators, because educators also need to know about the spiritual world. So her website is Highly Intuitive Kids. And she also has a Facebook group for parents as well to meet. And I think it's awesome that her child was able, and you can see him, but he was bullied in school. And so it's really the difference of when the staff came in to help him and gave him some things that he could do, even though his mom had already done that. It's such a difference before the show ended. And she said it continued.
Yeah, I think in some ways it's like when you hear it from more than just one person. Right? So your parents may give you that confidence, but there's also a level of self-awareness, I think, as a kid, where no matter what your age is, you're like, you're my parent, you have to say that. So when you have a third party and somebody who comes in that's also confirming what your parent or another adult has said, even if it's a teacher, what have you, that you're like, okay, it's not just one person or it's not just this group. There's a sense of community is how it comes across. So maybe we can also have her on if she's available. That's really good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she would be a wonderful guest. Oh, absolutely. The ins and outs and everything of what she's gone through, because I believe that they even had to change schools, but she went in and talked to the class about it and teacher and the principal and everything. But I think eventually she had to move him to a different school just so he could get his needs. Yeah, the thing.
Another question I'm feeling led to ask you and see as well is, what other tools can you maybe recommend to children when they're in school and bullying situations? I probably would have gotten bullied a lot more, but I grew up moving around quite a lot. So my dad was in a business where for 22 years, like every 6 months, 9 months a year, we would move up until college. So that really stunk, right? And meeting new kids and then being intuitive and psychic and all that other stuff. But luckily I had Michael. So when kids were doing that, like he would say, they're hurting. They're not really taking this out directly on you. This is something they're going through. They're not understanding. And I would stand in my power and I would push back, and the look on their faces, if they were starting to bully me or other people, they were just like, whoa, she's not taking it. Now, I'm not recommending to kids to like constantly push back, but I had a voice and I had that voice because of Michael. So I don't know if there's anything C you would recommend and or Michelle you would recommend. I think it's when you get to a certain age, right? It really is that middle school through teenage years where you have your voice and you can push back. Any sort of tips or recommendations you could give to people that were, or kids that may not have Michael constantly chattering in their mind?
Okay. So we're empaths. What you were saying is they might be going through something and it's like, you know, you got to turn that around and say, I don't care what they're going through, because I need to be respected. And I, even though they're going through some difficult times, I'm not going to allow them to treat me that way. And so you can actually get your energy, and I always tell them it's almost like a superhero shield, like your suit that you were talking about, but visualize that superhero shield and push back the energy. Okay. And they're going to feel it. They're definitely going to feel it. And push back the energy for protection. Don't do it in an angry way, because you don't want to send that negative energy to them as well, because you are going to get angry as well, because you're going to feel that anger. But I also tell them, get the help. Go to a teacher, because schools nowadays have to help the child, or a parent can come in and say that you're neglecting my child. So they need to go and get some help. And they can turn that around. But that also does not protect them in the bathrooms or outside when they're alone. But definitely watch your surroundings and use that energy, protect yourself, and know that you don't deserve that. Because that's another way you can get depressed and shut yourself down.
Yeah. I had a teacher where I told her what happened. And you know what she said to me? She's, Nicole, I don't like tattletales. And she put me in timeout. And by the way, it wasn't a corner. It was a closet. And she would lock the kids in the closet in the dark. Can you believe that? Yeah, it was terrible. Now, granted, hopefully nowadays schools are different. But I think that what you're saying is very valuable for parents or any adult, right? To say, okay, yes, you have your energy. And that's really what I was doing without realizing it, is like pushing back. That's why they would have these shocked looks on their faces, because they felt it. But then also, yes, sharing that with if you don't feel comfortable telling your teachers or your principal, then you're definitely your parents or somebody, another adult in your life that you do feel comfortable talking to. And I love also that you mentioned like the being aware of your surroundings too, because it's not just in a classroom setting or with crowds. It can sometimes sometimes be one-on-one and alone. And not for kids to be in fear, but just to allow them to know that they are empowered. And like you said, that there is a level of respect as all human beings and spiritual beings we should have. Now, C, I would love to hear from you about anything either you went through and how you pivoted or kind of recommendations you tell parents now and the kids that you work with.
Sure. So my experience, I was homeschooled. So I really, the only bullying I got was from my younger sister. So that wasn't really an issue for me. However, what I do tell parents and kids is, like you were talking about, Michelle, that power stance, right? They can stand up like that Superman or Superwoman and put their hands on their hips and stand in their power before they leave the house in the mornings or when they get back in the afternoons, that kind of thing. And also, I tell kids and parents too, this applies to adults as well, that anyone who is bullying you is trying to control you. And you do not have to give away your power. That's your choice. And so what I do is I ask them to imagine, again, I use the visualization of having that energy ball. If something negative gets thrown towards me, sorry, I'm bouncing it right back to you. Love and light. Love you. You don't affect me. And so I don't rise up to and I don't respond. Now, if somebody else is being bullied near me, then yeah, I step in. I would recommend stepping in and saying, hey, I love the buddy system. I think that's really important for kids. And of course, as always, telling an adult or teacher who is safe. But actually going back to that, about that safety, we had mentioned that a little bit earlier, and you talked about role-playing with an adult who can ask questions or pretend. What other ways are there that kids can maybe feel safe, not just in the scene of where they are at school or church or with other kids or their peers, but in what other ways can they feel safe, or can parents ensure their safety when it comes to maybe if they're experiencing seeing ghosts, things like that?
And I love that, because the number one thing is that they do need to feel like they are in control. And I think Nicole brought up a good point, is you go different places and you can feel it, you can hear it, and there's no boundaries there. They need to set boundaries. So if they're accepting that part of them and they don't want to shut it off, always tell your spirit team, you know what? I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to see anybody when I'm at school, because I am at school, I am learning. And need to control that. And if they start seeing somebody, there is a way that you can block that out. And you stop it and say, no, I'm not going to talk to you right now. Just if you don't want to play with a friend at that time. You go, you know what? I don't feel good. I am not going to speak with you. Because a lot of our kids do. They feel all the energy. They feel everybody's energy around. They need to learn how to control it. Because, again, that will bring up a lot of anxiety. And they just need to push that energy away and put that shield, just like you said, the astronaut suit. Or they can pretend that they're in a bubble and they can't get in that bubble and say, I am not here for you right now. And then if they get home and they want to invite spirit in, say, okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready to talk to you. And then leave it for 15 minutes and then just snap their fingers and say, okay, I'm done. No more. So they need to learn how to do the exercises and know that they are in control. And if it gets too overwhelming for them, they may need to go into the bathroom a lot of times, is where I would go and take a deep breath so that I could control it and shut it down at that point.
Those are all wonderful tips. Anything else, I guess, so we talked a lot about adults. We also gave a lot of different avenues, resources, which I love all of it. We'll definitely include all of this in the show notes. But for psychic children or teens that they can also be doing to start to trust in their own abilities and to be empowered, I think it also dovetails into the adults. So they might be coaching them and directing them to some extent. But anything else you can think of or would like to share, Michelle?
Yeah. So again, I think when a child comes to a parent or a teacher, sometimes they can go a teacher, it's really important for them not to become afraid, because the child's going to pick that up and is going to become afraid. Knowledge is important because that is a part of them. That is a part of who we are as psychic mediums. If they don't embrace it, learn how to work with it, they are going to miss that puzzle piece in their life. And so it's very important for everybody to get educated, because I think these kids nowadays are so much stronger spiritually and they're tapped in more. They're not afraid, which is great to be tapped in. And they're not afraid to say their piece. They're not afraid to say what they are thinking. So, or what's your feel? Because to me, I felt like I was like a people pleaser growing up and I would shut down. So again, listen to your child to see where they are and meet them halfway and make it spiritual. It's nothing evil. The devil's not coming to visit. So just embrace it and just see how you, just like anything else. If your child came home with a learning disability, they can't do math, you're going to implement something to help them succeed. You're going to do the same thing this in that spirituality as well.
And as you're saying that too, I was getting the words that Michael was throwing in my head is the kids are our teachers now. So the fact that they're coming in, so while we're thinking, yes, we're adults, but it's like there's a lot of role reversal in a lot of ways. And especially with the kids and the children, the souls that are coming in now, it's like they're just droves and droves. They're highly more evolved and sensitive and things. And I think that goes back to what you were saying about that confidence, and they're not fearful, but they are still learning. So it's like a learning opportunity for both adults and children and teens as they're going through this. The other thing I wanted to go back to, because I totally forgot, but I was reminded by my team, is that when you were talking about the physical piece, like going to a doctor, I wrote down physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. You go to a doctor because you need that physical healing, that advice, that guidance by accredited doctor. The mental, same thing. You're going to go to a doctor or somebody in that mental capacity to understand. The spiritual, we forget. That's what the spiritual is, like is what we're talking about. So many people, unless you're religious and you've been looking into that aspect, there's a piece oftentimes that we're missing on that spiritual level, that understanding of the quote unquote supernatural. That's why there's the other resources out there and what you were saying about having that spiritual point of view. And then of course there's the emotional, right? You're going to go to somebody, whether that's a therapist or whatever else, to work through the emotions, whether it's tapping into the creative arts, that sort of thing, the journaling. So there's all these levels. You can't just think about the energy body as like one, right? You have these layers. And so when you're thinking about that, not just as yourself as an adult, but also with the children that you're either mentoring or working with or guiding as your role and responsibility, that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that is well put. I love that.
Thanks. It's not mine. It's from source. So there we go.
Oh my gosh. That is so concrete. It's almost like a chart that you just described perfectly. And that is well said. I love it.
Yeah. They've been lately, there was when I had Dr. Lisa Vest on, a psychic story, and she was talking about medical intuition, and something really clicked when she said that she looks at, as a medical intuitive, all of the bodies. And so from when I was younger and I would do prayers, my team taught me to say things healing on emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, past, present, future, now. And I never really thought about it. I just did what they told me. But then when I really started thinking about the energy bodies and everything, I was like, wow, I've been doing that. But we don't really dive in and think about it in a concrete manner about how it applies and it is applicable to our lives. And also when we're on our spiritual journeys. So that's why we say it's like, it's always good to have it rounded out and have not just your spirit team on the other side, but your team in the here and now and on earth to say, who are my experts that I can go to and tap into when it relates, especially to children and teens. See, I know you have something to say. They're telling me.
I love that we're able to dive so deeply into this subject and peel back the layers of the onion, so to speak, in order to give parents and kids tools. And I just thank you both so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight and your experience.
Well, and thank you.
Yeah. Anything else, Michelle or C, you want to add, or anything your spirit team is telling you that we should add before we close out the episode?
The one thing I always tend to say is, if you are whatever you feel like spiritually, if you're a psychic medium, embrace it, because I know I keep saying that it's a part of you, but until you really embrace it, you're not really going to show people your authentic self. So a lot of people out there, if you feel like you have a lot of your clairs opening up and you are becoming a psychic in a psychic medium, find somebody or some place where you can fine tune those talents, and so that you can show people your unique self.
Yeah. And that's definitely for the adults and giving guidance to children, because it's so important as we develop our personality and we experience different things, right? Supernatural, spiritual, what have you. And having that so that you don't have to be in fear or feeling like you're hiding something and not sharing that part of yourself. There is censorship to the extent, like, you, it's like filtering and understanding your boundaries and also understanding the way the world world works, it's also a matter of not necessarily hiding it, right? It's like, you know your audience. I'm not going to talk about the fact that I talk to Michael and everything else with somebody who's super religious or doesn't necessarily believe in that. It's just, it's not appropriate. But you learn that as you get older. But that doesn't mean it's still not a part of you. And like you were saying, that psychicness, it's not going to go away. So it's just like about understanding when and where and how you show up for yourself and you show up for others. And that may look a little differently, obviously, for each person and depending on the situation. So thank you for sharing that as like our final closure. How can people reach you? Where would you like them to go?
Oh, I tell people to go to my website because it has everything there. So it's michellehendersonmedium.com.
Yep. And you have all your socials, which you make it really easy for everybody. It's Michelle Henderson Medium on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. And then you have a podcast, Michelle's Inspiration Hour, which I will also link to. So if you want to hear more from Michelle, you can go and listen to her podcast. Thank you again, Michelle. Really appreciate having you on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. Because again, I just feel like we need to advocate for our kiddos.
Yeah. I definitely would love to continue to have you back, whether it's on this A Psychic Story Kids Edition or A Psychic Story. C's obviously a regular. She's going to be more of a regular. But yeah, I just would love to keep that connection going. And again, thank you for all that you do. 30 years in education, working with children, especially autistic children. And now you're taking on and tackling on the spiritual. That's no easy feat. So congrats to you.
Thank you. I love it, though. I absolutely love it.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story Kids Edition. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. For more information, go to apsychicstory.com or follow Psychic Kids on Instagram.